Hi, I'm Sue Chadwick.
Yeah, this is Lou Chadwick from Second Chance Farm, Greenfield, Mass.
And you're listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 76. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we're out in the orchard grafting apple varieties with Sue and Lou Chadwick of Second Chance Farm. There'll be more on that chat in just a moment. Well, we had an interesting mini conversation on the Cider Chat Facebook page, and that was started by Zach. And he brought up the question to me, essentially, I think it was like a private message or something like that, asking me if I talked about batonnage. And I then posted that same question to the Facebook page, and both he posted and another person by the name of Mike posted too. And so I thought that this would be a good opportunity to kind of delve into a technique that a lot of people don't talk about, but they're doing one way or the other, and to talk about both the benefits of that and the actual way you get this done. So let's first start with the definition of batonnage. This is a French term, and it's really kind of derived from the word baton, I believe. And at a commercial operation, they would be using a stainless steel wand, and it would be placed into the vessel, and it will be used to stir up the cider and mix up the lees that are on the bottom. So hang on to your hat, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about lees in just a minute. If you don't have a stainless steel tank, or you're making your cider in a large wooden barrel, then this baton or the wand would have a chain attached to the end of it, or a paddle. And again, it's going to be all stainless steel. The goal is to mix the lees back into the cider. And however you get there, there are some pretty cool videos to look on YouTube. And this is taking place at wineries where they're doing batonnage by actually rolling the barrel. The barrel is placed on rollers, and they just kind of roll it around. And in some cases, they have plexiglass on one end, so they actually get to see the lees mixing around. So that's pretty cool. Now, for myself, I'm not a commercial cidery, so what I would use is just my racking tube. And that's that plastic tube. Make sure it's sanitary and put it in my carboy, and that's going to be totally adequate for this process. Now, let's just take a look at what is lees. And there's really two different kinds of descriptors for lees. The first one is the gross lees, and that's actually spelled like the word gross, G-R-O-S-S. And you gotta kind of like have the image here of cider. It's the yeast is starting to go wild, and it's really churning up. You know, there's like bubbling. You hear that in the music for the Cider Chat show, right? I always had that like bubbling carboy. That's a releasing of the CO2 out of the airlock. And so there's a lot of turbulence in the liquid, and it looks cloudy. You can't see through it. And of course, you know, you're kind of working towards getting clarity in your glass. And I'm not going to even go with like the difference between that and cloudy cider. That's a different kind of topic right now. But let's just stay with gross lees. So the first thing to kind of drop out is a gross lees, and that is a heavy precipitance that drop down to the bottom of the vessel. And in a barrel, you can't do too much about that. You're just going to leave that lees in there. It's okay in a barrel for the most part because a barrel breathes, and the lees actually absorb oxygen. And oxygen is kind of, you know, like a beautiful thing for all of us. It's a thing that sustains life on Earth, of course. But for something like cider, you could get the cider oxidized. And you don't really want that because a leaf, well, the basic thing is a leaf kind of like a cardboardy taste on the palate. That's something you don't want. No, 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 no. But in a barrel, if you're working with a wooden barrel and you have that kind of like living being of the wood itself and allowing a little bit of oxygen in, the leaves will absorb that. So you don't worry about the gross leaves because you're not going to get it out. For those folks who don't have a barrel or they have barrels and something else such as a stainless steel tank or a glass carboy or demijohn, these are inert objects or vessels, I should say, that do not breathe. Keeping the lees in that solution can be beneficial because, again, by doing the batonnage, stirring it up, keeping the lees in contact with the full container, not just letting it float down to the bottom, especially before you rack it, can increase the mouthfeel and body of your final product. So this is a little, you know, way to look at it, and it could get so complex because there's a different type of lees aging, and there's different terminology that we're using here. Batonnage is where you're stirring it, and then there's sur lee aging, or on the lees, and this is a really common technique that's used in white wine making, where you just leave it on the lees. That can be beneficial too, but you have some risk here in this process, in that with all the lees dropping to the bottom and not being stirred back into solution, the lees will gobble up all the oxygen. And I know this might be kind of contrary to what you might have heard, but that creates a reductive situation, and it can produce compounds such as hydrogen sulfide. And so you get that rotten egg smell. And certainly I've made this over the course of my time making cider, no doubt about it. So you want to watch out for that. So I recommend, if you want to check this out, and do go to that Facebook pasting on Cider Chat, I think it was posted on April 7th, and see what Zach does and Mike does. That's pretty interesting there, because Zach also does a little bit of malolactic fermentation. That's something that he puts in. The malolactic, he gets it from Scott Labs, and that creates another process in to really create a certain kind of profile that he wants from a cider. He says it works really well. Read through that script. But for those of us who just want to try that batonnage, a great way to do it is get 6 gallons of the fresh pressed apple juice, split off five gallons into the 5 gallon carboy, and take 1 gallon and let that, after, you know, pitch the yeast, same yeast in both. And in the 1 gallon, you know, allow it to just drop down. All the lees drop down to the bottom and don't stir it up. And in the other one, start stirring that in after your primary fermentation, and do that for like a month and a half, and do it at your own kind of schedule. The concern there is every time you open it, you are putting in oxygen every time you take that little airlock off. I wouldn't worry about that too much. I know that Zach, he set up a whole system where he set up a canister to his paint ball gun thing. He has a photo on the Facebook page and is able to keep on covering his cider with CO2 to reduce the oxygen. So check it out. It's pretty interesting. I'm going to post a link to a YouTube clip so you can see the batonnage in action. And this is another way to just kind of like geek out on cider making, but not geek out on it too much because it's not that difficult to do. And kind of fun stuff out there in Ciderville. This past week, I was at my monthly meeting with our fermenters group. That's Valley Fermenters. You've heard me mention it before. And this particular club meeting, we had a hopped cider tasting. And we probably had about 33 different ciders, all things considered, some commercial, some non-commercial. But what I really liked about the presentation here is that it was set up initially with a base cider. And what I mean by that is the presenter, Jack, he brought along, and he's a non-commercial maker, he brought along his base cider with no hops added. So we all tasted that. And then he did the next pouring, and that one was hopped for 3 days. And we all tasted that. And then he brought out another cider, poured that, and that one had been hopped for 7 days. And there were different profiles of different hops, and you could really see the difference. And I thought that was a good little tip to share with Ciderville on how to do a tasting to really develop the palate. You could also do this with a fruit cider, too. And what I mean by fruit cider is any cider where another fruit has been added. For instance, I've added bananas, I've added blueberries, I've added apricots. So that would be a fruit cider. And then you might have a herb cider, and that's where you add something like herb or a spice. So it could be herb or spice cider. And that's where, in some cases, I've added ginger to my base cider. So anything like that, take a little bit, if you can, of your base cider out, save that, bottle that, and then as you add your other properties to it, see how it changes. And I think that's kind of interesting, which will lead us a little bit into this week's topic, in that grafting is all about having your base apple tree. I don't know how apple feels about being called a base apple tree, but when you're taking your primary apple tree and then grafting other apple varieties onto it. That's kind of like what blending is, isn't it, in that way? And that's what we're going to be doing today with Lou and Sue Chadwick of Second Chance Farm in Greenfield, Massachusetts. I have gotten to know these two folks over the course of the year because they are also members of my Fermenters Club. But initially, I met them at Cider Days, and we didn't really know each other, so it's more recent that we've become quick friends, if I could say that. Certainly, I feel that way. But over the years, they have been at Cider Days religiously, consistently setting up a table filled with apples of all different kinds of varieties for folks to come along and both look at the apple and take a slice and taste it too. So you get to see the outside of the apple, the inside of the apple. You know, of course, apples look different inside. Sometimes you have a red-fleshed apple, which means the inside of the apple is actually red. And if it isn't, then it's going to be kind of yellow or white. Look at that, look at the texture, and get the mouthfeel and the actual taste profile. So they've been doing that and just sharing their knowledge for years. They also often bring trees from the nursery that they have, and people can purchase those trees. And I also want to say they bring along some very tasty pies. So if you're going to be going to Cider Days this year, and that'll be happening the first weekend of November, as it always does, make sure to stop at their table. Wonderful, wonderful people. So we're going to be going to their orchard today. I stopped in on a stunning Friday afternoon, I called them about 15 minutes before and said, hey, I'm stopping by. Happened to have my recorder and just enjoyed their presence and thought that you, Ciderville, would enjoy that too and also learn a bit from them. So we're going to be talking a little bit about some grafting styles and just walking about in the orchard. And whether you are an orchardist yourself, but also for the folks out there in Ciderville who don't get this opportunity, I hope you do, like myself, get to be able to walk out in an orchard in early spring and just feel the vibrancy of all the insects and birds and the sky and the sun kind of meshing with the earth and just awakening us all. There is nothing better than that. So let's all grab a glass and stroll out into the orchard with Sue and Lou Chadwick of Second Chance Farm in Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Hello!
Hi.
Did you hear that I was coming?
Yep.
Oh, goody. I figured I was, you know, in the neighborhood.
Fine. And
it might work. Thank you, cat. What a beautiful spot you have here.
We fell in love with it.
Nice little orchard.
They're not real happy, but they're living.
Well, why is that? Because
because of the clay.
The clay.
It's so wet down in there.
Okay.
The ones up here are getting bigger.
Yeah, they are.
The other ones
so the further down, it's a little bit wet.
Time. Yeah. that.
Well, those medlars, they really like wet soil.
Oh, really?
They do, yeah.
What have you got, dry?
No, I have a mix of everything.
Oh, good.
I have
so
a piece of property I'm kind of clearing up, and it was, there's like a 30 by 40 foot cellar hole there, and another one.
Oh,
and it
wow.
was where the barn was,
so
and
a,
all the
farm.
Cows.
Yeah.
And so that soil's just been sitting. It gets a lot of percolation coming off the mountain.
Yeah.
And it also was where all the cows were, with all the manure.
Right.
So it was like
so it's
black
got some
gold.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness. But right across the stream, it's like sand that you want to have in a septic system.
Oh wow.
So it's really like pretty big contrast. Lou, what you doing over there? Can I help you out there, Lou? My goodness.
Oh, we figured we needed a place to sit while we
yeah, yeah. Hey, let me get a hand here, buddy.
All right.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you can take one of these.
All righty, I will. Sweet. What a perfect day.
Yeah,
no bugs.
Right. The black flies haven't hatched out yet.
That's the worst part, is the bugs. Oh, what a view. Lovely.
Wow. Love a place? I don't know.
What do you got here?
Not too bad.
That looks pretty good.
Wow. What do you want to see first? Do you want to, what do you want for science? Kind of cider varieties, or?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
She's got some.
But the thing is I'm only doing this, I think what I'm going to do is like a rind graft, you know, where you cut it just.
And then just slit the.
The
outer.
Yeah, the outer bark.
Right.
Because it's like this time of year, late April, that you want to do it.
Yeah.
And I thought, just go in there. But I was wondering how much.
Well, you want two buds, possibly three if they're close together. That's about all you really want on.
That's all you can
on
get
on each thing. You get any longer than that.
Yeah, the ones we were doing for Colin were.
Yeah.
Maybe at the most that big.
But how many can you put around there?
He had four.
Probably he had four. Okay,
and
four tops.
His trees were.
They were
that big
trees.
Around.
Yeah. Mine's just a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
I think it would take.
You'll probably go a foot four. Yeah.
You know,
they won't all take, so.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you might be lucky and they will.
I know.
Yeah. You never know.
Well, you know, there's a part of me because, like, the tree has been sitting there and I'm finally opening up the sun and I'm like, well, if I cut it, I won't really know what I have. And so I thought, oh, maybe I should wait and see what's on that tree.
Right.
Before I cut it, you know?
Oh, okay, so you don't know.
But it's a volunteer. It was from a bird.
Well, does it have, like, spikes on it?
What do you mean?
Like thorns almost?
No,
that's what your wild trees would have. So
usually.
If it doesn't, it means it probably is a planted tree at one time.
Spikes coming out of the
anything?
Sign.
Oh, any of these guys that do
See, like, right here, these are buds. You know, they're actually growth coming out.
Yeah.
But if you have something like that, but only it's really super sharp, that means that
it's
probably a wild tree.
No. Yeah, look at all these nice little grafts you've done here.
What is this going now? Just wind, I guess.
I tossed it up here and it didn't get down all the way.
You've got four or five different ones on.
Yeah, right on. Now, the thing is, so I have that, but I also have this other apple tree. You know, it's probably... Oh, about, I'm going to say about a little bit higher than this and has a lot coming off.
Of some of those down
there.
But I mean, these are wild trees, right?
They're all wild trees. And so I was thinking, well, maybe I could just do some grafting right onto that.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you do if you had this, like...
Well, why don't we go look at that fellow over there?
Awesome. Wow, look at all this. So this is like your little nursery.
That's our
nursery. These are what we sell Cider Days.
It's probably 50.
Some Cider Days.
Almost 200 of them.
Oh, okay.
We took 22 22 trees with us to Cider Days last year, and we sold 21 out of 22.
Wow.
Well, not all of them were ours. One of them were friends of ours, Colin Scott, up in Buckley.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like your little bridge out there, too.
That's...
you.
It's what happens here. You dig a hole, it fills up with water.
No kidding.
It's just surface water.
And that's probably like 2 feet deep there or something, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Then yeah. It's really pretty, though.
It's probably getting filled in now.
Yeah.
Well, for a change, right now you can see to the bottom of it. And it looks, it's a good 2 feet, I think. I want to put goldfish in it, but I know the blue heron will catch them.
Oh, right, because they won't be able to hide anywhere.
No, they won't.
Underneath the bridge, but that's about it.
Well, they might be smart enough. Yeah. It doesn't cost much for those little goldfish.
I know. You could probably go up to the Peace Pagoda and lever it, and they'll give them to you for free because there's so many goldfish
up
there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They do.
They populate.
They're quite prolific.
Well, isn't this pretty?
This, let's see. That was a crab apple. This part, I don't know which is the original. People tried to tell me it was a wild tree. Yeah, there's still some original tree.
So this was originally the crab apple
here. A pretty flowering crab.
Okay. So you have a lot of grafts on here.
Uh-huh.
Like, how many would you say?
I don't
Holy
think
smokes.
Them.
Wow.
Now, we went up to John Bunker's last spring.
Yeah.
And he gave us all kinds of grafts, like this one. He calls it lavender apple. It's got another name, too. Araca? Somebody.
Oh, you can't see it. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, yeah, you're using these, like, little steel things or metal.
Yeah.
That works
well,
pretty well. But
I
they
was doing ribbons, but they blew
away. Wow.
And they lose the right.
Oh, you could just feel how it's going to start budding out.
And this is Stokes Red.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
John
yeah,
gave
yeah.
me that one.
Nice, and look at that little bit of
well, see, that's graft. A cleft graft there.
Yes, that is. Yep. Look at that.
Well, we don't have too many trees that are big enough to do that on.
We're going to take a little pause here and just describe what a cleft graft is. And cleft is spelled C-L-E-F-T. And it's where you are putting in a scion wood that is a bit smaller than the piece of wood that you're grafting onto or the tree that you're grafting onto. So you might do it on a tree that you have cut back, maybe perhaps a stump or a larger piece of stock from the main tree. So let's say you have a pretty good sucker that's going up in a different direction. You're thinking, yeah, you know, that's pretty healthy wood there. I want to add on to the tree and start expanding in that direction. You could make a cleft graft. Essentially, it's cut across horizontally and then with a knife. And they kind of consider this low tech. But I want to just say there's no low tech in grafting. And at the same time, it's all low tech. So go figure that. But anywho, you cut into the center of the branch that you're going to graft onto, and you place in your scion wood, placing two pieces of scion. And whenever you put the scion in, you want to have the buds of the scion going outward towards the bark. So you don't want to turn the bud. If there's like two buds on that piece of scion, you don't want to have the scion wood turning in towards the center diameter, but to the outer diameter of the branch that you are grafting onto or the stump. Then you want to wrap it and, of course, coat it. And we'll be talking about that with both Lou and Sue Chadwick coming right up. Let's return back to this chat.
This is a Stoke. Both of these?
Stokes Red.
Okay,
yeah.
Both are Stokes Red. Okay. So you're going to probably cut one, the
yeah.
most strongest one
leave.
Yeah. Now, look at this graft right there that you have. Holy smokes, that's really pretty, isn't that?
Pretty
kind of bulbous.
Ugly.
And this one here, that's really
leather coat. They're the neatest little tiny,
leather coat.
Work.
Yeah.
Like a russet.
Okay.
Russet, they're russeted skin.
Wow.
But they got a great flavor.
I'm going to get some close-up photos here. I had an apple tree years ago that had five different varieties on it, and she was just a celebrated being.
Wow.
And then I kind of moved from that
I
home.
Ordered one that had five. Well, it came, it had three.
Pre-ordered the tree, and it already had?
It was supposed to have five. It had three, so I didn't
wow.
complain too much.
Wow, wow.
And people tell me it can't happen, but I've had it happen to me quite a few times. One of the kinds turned into one of its neighbors.
No kidding. Wow.
And my grandfather had a tree that was yellow transparent. Wow. He put St. Lawrence on it.
Yeah.
Back in the 20s sometime.
No kidding.
And in the 50s, all of a sudden, it was all St. Lawrence.
Wow.
The yellow transparent part was gone.
Wow.
And then, after we had left the farm, here's a little shoot of yellow transparent comes up on the back side of the big old trunk.
So there's a lot of integration there Ciderville. They're just kind of like
fun.
Hanging out. Yeah, it's so much fun. Now, did you plant this tree originally here?
No.
This was here. And so how long have you been at the home here?
It'll be 12 years.
12 years that you work in it. And look at all that. That's kind of come up. Nice. It looks like you got somewhere like 20.
Zuckerma Maglo's Renette there, and this is
Wixen. Yeah.
That's a cider one, this one here.
Yeah, that's nice.
Another one up here, Lodi. That's an early variety.
Yeah.
Where
wow.
Are you going?
Now I see how you were able to fill that table at Cider Days with so many varieties, Lou.
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, this tree itself, when you first moved here, do you know what the actual apple tree was?
No, we didn't.
No idea.
In fact, it still has some apples, and we're not sure what they were, or the original one.
No, I took them to some of the experts, and they said, it's just a wild apple. It's a good keeper.
It's a good apple.
Yeah. Oh, look at this.
So which one are we cutting?
That's
oh, my goodness.
That's funny, long, heavy one. Done their graft on it.
Yeah, the bottom or the top?
No, you can go down quite a way, so it's...
No, I mean, there's two branches coming out.
That one.
Oh, this?
That thing.
Okay.
Oh, try to make it into something
here.
Make it into something else. Let's see.
One trick is to have a sharper saw than what we got.
Yeah, that was not the best. Let's see.
I can do that. Here's your splitter.
Oh, I was
going
to try doing the one where you just open it up.
Oh, the bark on each side?
The bark graft.
Oh, okay.
And I wonder if we can do it without using... That's so small. I think I can do it with this tape maybe.
Just go down on each side then,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, now, how do we mark those guys? How do we cut them? Flat on the inside?
Flat on the inside, bark on the outside.
So they're a half circle.
Yeah,
bark.
So you got bare wood against bare wood on the inside.
That's what I thought. Okay, we'll try it.
What do you think, bud? Should we be wasting our time here, huh?
No, he says you should be in the house holding me.
Just the perfect time of year to be doing this type of graft.
Yeah.
And a nice warm day too. Wow.
The other day was so hot that the wax was just melting just about.
Yeah. Look at that, it's just coming right off there.
That's gotta be really thin, don't it?
They're little.
All right.
You got the knife. Cut them so that they'll fit in there.
What Lou is doing next is called a rind graft, and that's spelled R-I-N-D. And it's best done in the time of year that we had on this particular day in April. Because the bark around the apple tree, it comes off a little bit easier. So what he had done was cut one of those suckers that was really feeling really strong, and he wanted to kind of just add on to that sucker there, cut it horizontal, and he had two pieces of scion. And he made a very small slice on the bark on one side and was able to pull back that bark, again, because it's a good time of year to do it. And the scion, he had just cut one side of it, not when the side that had the bud facing outward, but the opposite side, so made a sliver there. And he left the bark on the opposite side of that piece of scion. He slid it down between the apple tree that he's going to be grafting onto, so down into that bark that he pulled back, and laid the fresh cut piece of scion against the actual cambium part of the apple stock. And then he did it on the opposite side too, so that he had two pieces of scion wood on that one, got about an inch across sucker. I do know that I have a photo and a video of this that I'll be putting up to the Cider Chat YouTube page. So take a look out for that. Let's go back to this chat and further listen to both Lou and Sue from Second Chance Farm as we are just frolicking in the orchard and continuing with this rind graft.
I'm cutting it so that the bud is going to be on the outside, so we save the bud.
And what are you putting on here? What's the apple that you're putting on?
St. Edmund's Russet.
St. Edmund's Russet.
English apple. Got it up at Unity at the Science Swap.
A lot of people come to that plant swap?
Oh, that was something else. Oh, it's not a good sign.
Before, wow.
So hopefully we'll have one of the two, at least one of the two take.
And that's really something, because that's, you know, the width of that is, geez, what would you say, like an inch?
Yeah.
Right? That's about it.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so ready to wrap.
Hey, you want to try the tape?
What side? Don't make a difference?
Don't make any difference. This is our first year of trying to use this tape.
Oh, this is so exciting. What a perfect day to be here. What kind of tape do you normally use?
This stuff.
Oh, usually it's just a,
it's a
just
clay.
Wax.
A clay, yeah. And so what?
Grafting wax.
And what is this tape called here?
I don't know.
You got it?
Fedco.
Okay. Fedco yeah. Trees, yep. Yeah.
But our boss used some like it last year, and he had great luck.
I mean, I know folks who use like electrical tape.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of like whatever you have.
And when we were in Italy, up in the mountains, the gentleman there just had cloth and I guess just plain wax.
Wow.
But it was mostly just cloth he had wrapped around, and it was working for him.
So are you just kind of sealing that up there so
yeah,
that...
Yeah, trying to keep the air off.
Yeah.
So they don't dry
the
out.
Yeah.
Got enough or needs more though?
No, I think I got plenty here.
Okay.
Perfect. Now, have you ever used anything else? Other kind of
there's
sealants?
There's another kind. The beeswax.
The beeswax, yeah. Yeah, melt that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it comes in a bar.
Yep.
And you spend about 2 hours getting it so you can work it.
To work it, okay,
hands.
Yeah. You're not melting it.
You're not melting it. But a lot of the guys now, especially if they're doing a big cut, I don't know what it is that they use, but it is a thing that they melt and they take it out hot.
Mm-hmm.
Or not hot, but warm enough to paint it on.
Right. Wow. Boy.
There's a lot of ways of doing all of this.
Yeah, but it seems like you really have it going on here because these trees, you could just feel the apple happiness in your, both on your property here and the two of you too. Just like so delightful.
I love apples.
Yeah.
Well, I was growing up.
When did your love of apples start?
Following my grandfather around in his orchard.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where was that at?
Buckland.
Alright. Yeah, did he have primarily culinary apples?
To start with, he had mostly Baldwins and Northern Spies. Then Max, Cortland's.
Mm-hmm.
He got into Red Delicious when they became popular.
Yeah. Which now, what's going on with that orchard now?
One of them is almost everything gone. The other one is the one that we brought back.
No kidding.
And that it's going.
So you're still tending that?
No. The people that bought it.
Okay.
That have it now are... Well, nice. That's the one that the Artifact comes up and gets
Artifact Cidery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
But that's one way of doing that, and I didn't dig back far enough to peel off the bark. I had a real thin layer, so the back side of it come out a lot better than the front
side.
Yeah,
that came out really good.
Again,
I'm going to go get a nice picture of that now.
We'll determine how well we do.
That's true. Mother Nature rules.
This is a Leptqueen from Russia.
Ooh. Say that name again.
Lups. Lups. L-U-B-S-K. Lups,
okay.
Queen.
Wow. Pretty.
So it's an early apple. Cause all of their apples are early because they got such a short season there.
Nice. Look at that really kind of shiny, almost kind of metallic shiny kind of yellow bark.
Yep.
That's kind
of each tree has different color bark, really.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the largest apples you'll ever find. Algate Wonder. It's from England.
Algate Wonder.
Kind of snuck a cyan over for us.
A guy that works, he worked for Sam Adams Brewery.
Oh.
We met him through that.
Oh, I have a feeling I might know who that person is.
Okay.
Real big, heavy set guy.
Yeah, but that was Alan Tringham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that right? He was he was British, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he came to Cider Days.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
I don't know if he still does or not.
Alan actually, unfortunately, passed away.
Oh no! Oh, really?
He did. Yeah. It was very unexpected.
Oh wow!
Really unexpected.
Do some on one of these. Yeah. You want to graft up on top here?
Oh. You want now, just to show her what the other kind
Well, can
are
I
grafting?
Can I ask you something here? Now, look, you have
they're getting cut.
They're all getting cut.
Yeah.
So in that way, that's not a good piece to be grafting on at all.
Oh, that's why I was going.
Well,
to listen
it's
here.
Okay
it's
to
coming
graft
up in the
onto.
Open. See,
no,
this is coming up in the opening. So.
That's fine to graft onto them.
Yeah. To graft onto the suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're the best wood, actually.
That's what
when
I was saying.
When you're
really
getting scions, you really prefer the suckers. And this tree produced a lot of them.
Yeah.
Plus, they'll do that when you trim them and everything.
This is King of Tompkins County is its whole name.
Mm.
Tompkins County.
That's a pretty royal name. So here you have, like, a whole bunch of suckers, and obviously you want to get them out because you've already grafted that
one, that one didn't go last year. So.
The first one there isn't a sucker. This one here actually is a graft
from
down below.
Yeah.
And that one is called...
That's Chieftain, isn't it? No, that's...
Bancroft.
Bancroft, yeah.
And that's going to have some blossoms.
Oh, yeah. So what are you going to do in this situation? Because that graft didn't take, so are you going to maybe...
Take off the whole thing.
Probably take it right off.
Take off the whole thing, okay.
Got too much stuff here.
Yeah,
sure. Here, you do it. You're stronger than me.
You were doing good there. I didn't stop you.
Oh, I'm surprised little Bancroft is blooming already. That's only a 2-year-old graft. You see how much growth they can put on?
They do, yeah.
That's 1 year there, and that's the second year up there.
Very hardy. Yep. Okay,
so that's a good start.
That's out of there.
It makes me feel good to see the suckers because it means the tree's doing okay. We cleaned up one brush pile, and it saw an apple tree in there, so we left it. And it had like 5 branches coming up out of the ground. It turned out to be
Gravenstein.
The old-fashioned Gravenstein.
No kidding.
My father said there'd been another Gravenstein up the hill further that was one they took care of.
Wow.
So evidently an apple had rolled down. 5 seeds, it sprouted.
No kidding.
And grown.
Wow.
And it stayed true, which they don't usually.
So you just don't know. You don't.
It's not an exact science.
Which, you know, I kind of like.
Right.
Now, when you cut off a sucker, you could take it then as scion wood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
This will make a little king.
Yeah.
No.
Make a little king. Would you call that a prince?
Yeah, I guess so.
So primarily the apples that you've been planting here, what has been your goal or, you know, long-range plan?
Just to keep the old apples going. We've probably got 175 different kinds of apples here.
I think it's more than that now.
Yeah. What do you got
Kingston
there?
Kingston Black.
Oh, Kingston Black. Yeah, nice.
That's what he is.
Sweet.
I was just thinking you could have a couple of little pieces off the end to do the...
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then that works. If you want to write Kingston Black out, look.
Kingston Black.
No way.
Are you sure it's Kingston Black?
Yeah, this is Kingston Black. Black Oxford, it was the one I couldn't get going. This is Kingston
Black.
Now we've
got Black Oxford going, too.
Let's see. Another tiny little point. The deer chew them off.
I know. Those guys.
So they don't have very good points here.
That's why we got the cage around.
So now with this, like
grafting that. So we have that there, and you cut it off at this end here. If I'm going to do this...
You're going to want to flatten out.
On the side and keep the bud.
Keep the bud on the outside.
Yeah, okay. Great, awesome. Kingston Black, and that's a good cider.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got Gold Rush.
You got Gold Rush?
Yeah,
Gold.
That would be really amazing.
That would be amazing.
That's a nice apple.
Yeah.
I love it. That's a good taste. That was one
good taste.
We were in
good
Virginia.
Cider apple too. They've been making some pretty fine cider.
We were in Virginia, and I happened to come across this. We stopped at this orchard. Well, actually, we were there on purpose. But then I tried the apple, and I couldn't believe it. And it
he had to have one of them.
And I didn't know if it would, how well it would do here, but it's done pretty good. It really probably needs about another 2 weeks of warm weather.
So it's a later.
It's
so that's what I wanted
late.
To ask.
Yeah,
the Kingston Black. When would that be fruiting?
Late,
okay. Yeah. And so this is going to be even later, the Gold Rush, would you say, in this zone?
It should be.
Yeah.
And we're like zone 5.
Yeah, and you want them late anyway for a cider apple.
Totally.
You don't want them too early and sitting around.
Yeah,
this is Razor Russet, which is really a glorified red Golden Delicious, but it's russeted. And if I don't trim off the top of it, it goes back to being a Golden Delicious up at the top.
No kidding. Wow.
But they got great flavor. People, I mean, they look like a potato, but
they
you
look like
try
a potato.
Some of that.
Well,
because Golden is a good.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. They use a lot of mix with Golden.
Yeah, yeah. It's like being in a candy store here, you know? Jeez.
Let's see. There's plenty of these guys.
Okay, this is the Gold Rush.
Gold Rush. Now those are pretty long pieces there.
Yeah, so you can get several out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get one, two, three. They get further apart as you go down four.
Yeah, yeah.
About five out of each of the long ones, and then you can get another one, two, three out of that one.
Yeah. Okay, so. I'm going to be busy.
Here's Razor Russet.
In all the best ways. I have a feeling I might be kind of at my max here right now because I don't really have that much to put on,
place
you know.
To put them. Well, you haven't got Dabernet and.
Oh, I would love some Dabernet. I didn't know if you had any.
Foxwell.
Yes,
But you want to hear a funny story about Foxwell? I ordered this tree from Slaybox. Well, it grew. It has big red apples that come fairly early. Which does not go with my English apple book that talks about what they should be. The guy that brought them over from England brought the wrong apple, but they've always not been known as Foxwhelp here. So our Foxwhelp is not the English Foxwhelp.
So what is it then?
If
the guy
flavor.
Brought it over, you don't know.
He's dead now.
You don't, he don't know. Right,
he
okay,
didn't know
right,
anyway.
Right, that was like so many years ago.
You got Razor Russet there?
Yeah, Razor.
Wow.
But I go, what the heck? They're big. They shouldn't be big.
Big, yeah. Interesting. So when you planted this orchard, did you plant it in terms of what is kind of ready to be picked? No,
scrambled.
It's scrambled.
We're not
okay.
that organized.
That's the kind of interesting thing I've been finding out, you know.
It's supposed to be a Z. I'll straighten it out.
Oh, so much fun.
Okay, those guys are good. And we'll go up and get Dabernet in.
Oh, yeah, that'd be really sweet.
Of course, you can have some Desio, but you'll have more years.
I might do a little bit of both. You know, I might do the Rhine graft like you did up there.
Oh. I spelled Dabernet.
D-A-B-I-N-E-T.
N-E-T, okay.
Dabernet. Well, this is fantastic.
But if you need some more, we got lots of kinds.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. So when I do that little that cut, and then on the spot that I'm doing it, I do an equal cut right to it, like a V cut.
No, not a V cut.
If I'm not doing the rind,
yeah.
I just want.
Oh.
So there's two different grafts we're talking
right.
about.
Right. Oh,
that was a rind.
Right, where you split it open.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then if that's the case, you would slice it down like this and like that, and stick it in.
Stick it in like a little V. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give
that
it.
Book.
Yeah, okay. I'll go grab that information. That you want to take time to have a beer or something, or you have to get going?
I'd take time, sure, sure thing. And so we did. We sat back and grabbed a glass and continued our conversation. Nothing better than doing that, overlooking an orchard. And I brought home that day cyanwood from a Debonair, a Gold Rush, Razor Russet, and I was supposed to bring home Kingston Black. But don't you know, well, we were talking away and things kind of slipped our mind, and as things go, it was left in the wagon. However, I'll be out there tomorrow picking it up and bringing it home and grafting it on a tree. So thank you so much for all that you do, Lou and Sue, both for Cider Days and really keeping your passion alive around apples. They have about 150 varieties in this, you know, it's about 9 acres, the place, but where they have the apple trees themselves is not a large area, and they're just grafting and grafting, and it's just like contagious, their enthusiasm, and what amazing varieties they have. So that was pretty interesting. And you heard me mention Alan Tringham. He worked at Bulmer's, and he had come over at that time because he was working with the Boston Beer Company, which was then in the early stages of making cider. This was before, pre-Angry Orchard. So that's a bit of interesting history there. So much history out there in Ciderville, and I feel really, really honored to be able to get it on audio, some of these stories that we all share. So again, thank you to Lou and Sue, and thank you, Ciderville, for coming along. And a big thank you to the patrons of Cider Chat. Those are the folks who have joined the Cider Chat Patreon page, or the campaign, really, which for a very nominal amount, you too can become a patron too. There's kickbacks that everybody gets, such as being automatically submitted to any cider swag contest that we have. And don't you know, one just ended last Friday, April 14th, and two winners were chosen. And one of those is a patron, and I'm going to just kind of leave that out for now. So I want to give a big shout out to the two winners of a t-shirt from Forgotten Ciders. And if you recall, this Cider Swag contest was just to merely post a screenshot of you listening to Cider Chat, whether it's on your laptop or on your smartphone. And there was some really fun little photos that went up there. So the winners are going to be, and this is their social media handles. We have at Cider Raider. You could follow Cider Raider on Twitter. Cider Raider, by the way, is based in Portland. And then there's at Cider Geek, and Cider Geek is from Seattle. So those are two Pacific Northwest Cider Swag winners. Woo, 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 woo. And those Forgotten t-shirts were given to me to pass on to folks out there in Ciderville. So thank you so much, Rafe and Nicole. If you didn't listen to that chat with those folks from Forgotten Ciders, they're kind of like Lou and Sue, if you will, in that they have a lot of varieties. In fact, it really kind of blows me out of the water. They have 1,000 varieties of apples. And I mentioned earlier in this episode about red-fleshed apples. Well, they have a lot of those and some amazing photos. So if you want to check out Forgotten Ciders, go to episode 74. That's a Michigan cidery, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of them out there. I hope that you get to try some of their ciders. And those t-shirts will be heading your way so soon. Now, if you haven't been part of that Cider Swag contest, there is another opportunity coming up. So stay tuned. And this isn't going to be t-shirts. It's going to be something different. And I'll be announcing that probably in like another week or so. So there's a lot of abundance out in Ciderville, and we want to share it and get everyone connected in so many lovely, playful ways that unless you're drinking cider, you know, I don't think you really know about it. So grab that glass and join the chat, right? Join the chat also by helping others know that this podcast exists. You know, if your friend doesn't know about Cider Chat, let them know. Don't assume that people know even what a podcast is. A lot of folks don't know that. That kind of surprises me. So reach over, grab their smartphone, and show them how to subscribe today so we can keep this conversation with folks like Zach, brought up that topic of batonnage. Who would have known that? And folks like Lou and Sue, sharing this knowledge out there is what it's all about. And we'll be doing that again next week. I'm not sure who exactly is coming up, so I can't share that now. So you're going to just have to stay tuned. And before I forget, make sure that you go to the show notes for this episode number 76 to see the photos of my walkabout at Second Chance Farm with Lou and Sue Chadwick. In fact, I'll also be posting up on the Cider Chat YouTube page some of the video that I took while I was there too. You don't want to miss it because there's the photos of what a wild apple tree, those spines that they were talking about, and also the piece on actually pruning, some of the photos there, what it looks like when you do a rind graft, and of course Lou and Sue themselves and their little Kit Kat. And one more thing while I'm thinking about it, during this chat with Lou and Sue, we mentioned the use of tape. You want to, while you're doing the graft, use a tape that's going to not pull off the bark. So avoid electrical tape. Don't use duct tape, because whatever tape you use, unless it's a biodegradable tape that could be left on, it's going to have to come off. And you don't want something that's going to pull the bark off at the same time. So I'm glad I remembered that. And I just want to say, it's one of those days. It's April outside, one of my favorite months to be in my spot in Ciderville. And today, two medlars came in on the delivery truck along with a quince. So we're going to be following up with those folks for sure. And then two Arkansas Blacks, which is a apple variety that's really good for cider. So I'm stoked to get out and get them into the ground. And I'm sure I'll be taking photos as we go along. And we'll get to kind of know the medlars and the quince a little bit better, because they hang out so much in my reality of Ciderville. And oh boy. All right, so it's April. Enjoy it. Enjoy it wherever you are. May your cup be full. My name is Rhea Windcaller. I'll see you soon in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!